The best things come in small packages. Have you ever heard that before? Raise your hand. Heard that before? Okay. I've heard that before too. And the optimist in me says, yes, okay, I have three daughters, now adult, but they all started as little. I now have our first granddaughter, who's very little, who's 4 months old, right? So it's easy to look at that and say, yes, the best things come in small packages. But the cynic in me says, no, that's a marketing ploy to get people to buy rings and jewelry, right? The best things come in small packages. So set aside 6 months to be able to show them your love, right? So there's that kind of opposition that goes back and forth. But the truth is, and we can see that sometimes the best things start in small packages and then they grow. And they grow as God uses them. So the parable we're going to be looking at today is out of Matthew 13, and it's the parable of the mustard seed. So Matthew 13, verse 31 says this. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of the garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds can come and perch in its branches. So he starts with saying, in a lot of these parables, the kingdom of heaven is like. He's trying to help us understand Jesus came to bring the kingdom of heaven closer, right? But what does that mean? In Matthew 4, it says, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. The kingdom of heaven has come near because Jesus, the Savior, the Messiah, was now here. And so he went about saying, okay, the kingdom of heaven is near. The kingdom of heaven is near. And he wanted people to understand what the kingdom of heaven was like. So many of the parables took something common that they would understand and had a spiritual principle to help them understand what Jesus was all about and the kingdom that he was bringing. In Matthew 13 alone, it says, kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed, while the enemy put in bad seeds. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a hidden treasure in a field, or like a merchant looking for the pearls, where they sacrificed all that they had to come and get, to come and be part, to come and understand, to come and join in the kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake. Earlier in this chapter, in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, blessed are the weak, the poor, the humble, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. There are a lot of references to Jesus telling his believers they are children of God. He was called Son of Man, right? So we are his children. We are his adopted children. In Matthew 18, the disciples are trying to get him to play favorites. So now they're acting like children in a bad way, right? And they're saying, when we get to heaven, who gets to be on your right side, who gets to be on your left side? And it's James and John asking the question, can it be us? Can it be us? Can it be us? Right? And Jesus sees what they're saying, right? Who's it going to be, Dad? Who's your favorite dad? Right? If you have kids, you deal with that all the time. Who's the favorite? Nobody's a favorite. I love you all equally. Right? And so that's what they're trying to get. Now look at Jesus' response in Matthew 18. He says, he called a little child. So here they are asking him this question, trying to get their power, their position in. He calls a child up and he says, truly, which means listen up when he says truly. Truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. Unless you change and be like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. He says you have to become in a lowly position, and he links that to children. Why? Because children are often overlooked. At this point, the disciples must be thinking, children, come on, what can they do? You mean we're not supposed to do anything? Jesus says, no. They have something we can learn from. In fact, we need to be like them to understand and embrace the kingdom of heaven. Kids are open, kind of an open book. Kids are trusting. Kids see simple truths. They take things as they are. Now, many of you have all been cooped up with your kids and you're like, no, Pastor Dan, you don't know my kids, right? My kids are none of those things. Well, they all started that way. And sure, there are seasons they're not like that, but in general, their guards are down. If you, as the parent who loves them, says, this is what I want from you, okay, they'll listen. Whereas we as adults will go, I'm not sure you really want that from me. What's your angle? What's going on here, right? So let's get back to our story. So he talks about the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. And he says, though it's the smallest of seeds, when it grows, it becomes the largest of the garden plants. So large that the birds come and perch in its branches. The idea is the smallest grows to be the largest in the garden. It starts really small, almost like a grain, like a dot. See it? That's a mustard seed. That's somebody's finger, and that's a mustard seed. That's how small that is. But if planted and cared for, it can grow and make itself into a wide bush. Or in this case, Jesus is going, listen, you only know mustard trees as this size. I'm telling you, in the kingdom of heaven, you can grow to be even bigger. The kingdom of heaven is not like the mustard seed because it's small and it's tiny and it's limited. No, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed because of what it can be. Not because of what it is, not because of that, but because of what it can become when it grows and it spreads out so large that it gives a place for the birds to hang out, to roost. Like the tiny mustard seed, when we live as citizens of the kingdom of heaven, it affects everything we do and it can bring light to everyone around us. It spreads out. It's contagious in a good way. People see the light. We saw in the previous parable, people see the light and give praise to your Father in heaven. Kids, teens, young adults, men and women, hear me on this. It does not matter how small you are. It does not matter how small you think your influence is. It does not matter how little you think you can do. It does not matter how insignificant you believe your skills are. Like the tiny mustard seed, it does not matter what impact you think you can have now. What matters is the impact God can make with what you give him. He sees down the line. Whatever you can do, do it with all that you have for Jesus and trust God for the rest. He'll take what you offer and he'll grow it. And he'll make the influence much larger than you could ever understand, ever imagine. You don't know how God can use you. You don't know how God can use the smallest things to make a big impact. So don't assume and minimize the effect of what you can do now. Child of God, stop focusing on what you can't do and start believing what God will do through what you can. You see, that just limits us. That's one of the things the enemy uses to hold us back. You're not ready yet. You need more. But here's the thing. It's about your faith. It's not about your power. It's not about your ability. It's not about your qualifications. It's not about your education. It's not about your holiness. It's about your obedience to his power. Listen to these verses. So he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by my might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. In each and every instance, the power doesn't come from us. It comes from his spirit, comes from the Lord, it comes from God. A small thing you do today may have a giant impact on someone's tomorrow. There's a story out there about George Mueller. That's him there. He was a missionary, and he also ran an orphanage in the 1800s in England. And through his orphanage, he cared for 120,000 orphans over the complete time of this orphanage. From his journal, he would write down what God did on that day. And from his journal, he tells this story. One morning, all the plates and cups and bowls on the table were empty. There was no food in the cabinets, no money to buy food. The children were standing, waiting for the morning meal, when Mueller said, "Children, you know we must be in time for school." Then lifting up his hands, he prayed, "Dear Father, we thank thee for what thou art going to give us to eat." He was praying in advance. This wasn't a one time. His journal, his book says it time and time again, that this is what he did. There was a knock at the door, the story goes on. The baker stood there and said, "Mr. Mueller, I couldn't sleep last night. Somehow I felt you didn't have bread for breakfast, and the Lord wanted me to send you some. So I got up at 2 a.m., and bake some fresh bread, and I've brought it to you." Mr. Mueller thanked the baker, and no sooner had he left when there was a second knock at the door. It was the milkman. He announced that his milk cart, get this, had broken down right in front of the orphanage, and he would like to give the children his cans of fresh milk so he could empty his wagon and get it repaired. It was a simple prayer. Simple prayer done in great faith. Bringing the children together and saying, "We're going to thank God for what he's going to give us this morning." Bring me down a little. But that story is still told 100 years later and testifies to God's faithfulness to bring glory to God. You don't know what little thing you do, what impact God can do with it. Sometimes we think God requires more from me, and then he'll use me. I need to be smarter. I need to know more scripture. I need to be more consistent. I need to be more worthy. I need to be more prepared. I need more faith first before I do these things. When we fall into the trap of thinking I need to be more or do more before God can use me. We're limiting God, what God can do, because we remove ourselves from the story he's writing. We disqualify ourselves. I see it all the time. I see people with faith like a mustard seed that's growing and burgeoning and starting to go, but they disqualify themselves because they are not fill in the blank. Or they are only fill in the blank. God doesn't ask us to compare. Stop disqualifying yourself from the race before you ever get to the starting line. Let's look at the people that Jesus called. Matthew was a tax collector who was hated, who were tax collectors, hated and thought of as the worst of sinners by the Jewish people. Andrew, James, and John were all fishermen, ordinary people, just trying to make a living. And as I said, it was James and John who were vying for a better position. Simon, not Peter, Simon the Zealot was a politician. And the Zealot's job was to stir up rebellion, stir up riots, make change through force. Thomas lacked faith. Unless he could see it, he could not believe it. Peter, wow, where do you start with Peter? Peter was proud. Peter acted first and thought later. At times, he pushed back up against Jesus, saying, no, you can't do that. I need to. This is beneath you. But where would he have been if Jesus had not loved him enough to discipline and break him from his pride? This was the band of believers that Jesus used, that Jesus chose to impact the world with a world-changing message. This was his team. This was not about what they had done. This was about how he could use them. This was about how he could develop their faith to carry his message. They came as mustard seeds, but they grew into great trees for God. God knows who you are. God knows what you can do. And more importantly, God knows what he can do through you. Matthew 17 also talks about the mustard seed. And Jesus says, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. I saw these t-shirts online as I was looking at different images, and they were actually like a mustard bottle, all yellow and a mustard bottle. I saw one on a kid. I didn't get the picture up there, but it was basically, it was a mustard, and it said, mustard seed faith can move mountains. Don't wait for that seed to grow to the level you think God can use it. Don't wait. He can use where you are now. Small seeds of faith can move mountains, and those seeds can grow into big trees. And those trees can have a big impact for the kingdom of heaven. So where's your faith at? What do you need Jesus to do for you to strengthen that faith? We always want to be working on strengthening our faith. We just don't want to qualify our obedience based on the level of our faith.